The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
We open up Sacred Scripture this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we will begin our reading at verse 22 and read to the end of the chapter. The text for the sermon will be the last five verses, which we will not reread, 46 through 50. Matthew 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Now the words of the text. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Thus far we read the divinely inspired, infallible, sacred scripture this morning. May God bless the reading of his holy word to our hearts. Matthew 12:46-50 is the text for the sermon. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what a fascinating and most instructive incident is recorded here by Matthew in chapter 12. We find its parallel in Mark 3 and in Luke 8. Jesus was teaching in a house. The very next verse, which is the first verse of chapter 13, begins, the same day went Jesus out of the house. The first verse of the text, verse 46, tells us that his mother and his brethren stood without, that is, without the house. The house was packed and overflowing with people, so that we read in the parallel, Luke 8, verse 19, then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not come at him for the press, for the great crowd. Jesus was in the house teaching, and he was in a hostile environment with many scribes and Pharisees there, and they were charging him with casting out demons by the power of Satan. And so Jesus is rebuking them, upbraiding them. The very last statement he makes prior to the event of the text is found in the last line of verse 45. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. He's teaching in the house. It's full of people. And for some reason, Mary, his mother, and the brethren, they come and approach the house. The names of those brethren are found in verse 55 of the next chapter. James, Joses, Simon, and Judas. Those were the sons born to Joseph and Mary after Jesus had been born. Mary and the brethren, they come to the house and they desire to speak with Jesus. Verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Somebody took notice and took action. Verse 47, then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Jesus responds, verse 48, but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Jesus does not say, my mother and my brethren are here. Pardon me for just a moment, everyone. Jesus does not immediately and directly rebuke the man by saying, don't interrupt me, and you go tell my mother and my brethren, do not interrupt him. Jesus doesn't quickly dismiss the interruption and then resume his teaching. But he asks, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Who is my family? Jesus is not asking in ignorance. And Jesus is not belittling and slighting his mother Mary and the brethren. He's not condoning any kind of disrespect toward Mary and the brethren. But he's using this interruption to give an implied rebuke to the man, the reporter, and to Mary and the brethren, but especially as an occasion to teach a fundamental truth regarding the family. Who is my family? In dramatic fashion, in front of all of those people, verse 49, he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." The disciples, obviously organically considered, and to the exclusion of that wicked, unbelieving hypocrite, Judas Iscariot, the disciples, they are Jesus' mother. They are his brother. How can the disciples be his mother? He didn't come out of their womb. They don't even have a womb. They're men. How could the disciples be the brother of Jesus? They didn't, Peter, James, and John, and all of the rest, they didn't come out of the womb of Mary. They weren't adopted into the house of Joseph. How could they be his brethren? They don't even share blood. How could they be his family? How do we identify our family? Verse 50, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." This is how you identify your family. Those who obey God, those who do the will of the Father, they are our mother, our brother, our sister. Jesus is teaching us a very important and fundamental truth regarding the identity of the family. There is an earthly family, as there was for Jesus. It included Mother Mary and the half-brothers. And there are so many blessings, and there's so much happiness wrapped up in the earthly family and all of the experiences of the earthly family. We would all acknowledge that, and to God be the glory for the blessings of earthly family. But the family of earthly relations by blood is of itself, of little importance in comparison to the spiritual family that transcends it. Who truly is your family and my family? Jesus says, whoever obeys God. Benjamin, you have by your life and now by your confession this morning demonstrated that you do the will of the Father which is in heaven. And with the exception of your blood brother who made confession of faith a half year or so ago, you don't have any blood relations in this congregation or in our denomination. And that doesn't matter to you. It doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter to us. As you do the will of God, we say to you, hello, brother, and welcome, brother. And as we do the will of the Father which is in heaven, you say to us, hello, mother, hello, brethren, hello, sisters, hello, family. It's good to be a part of the family, and not only the family broadly speaking, which refers to every human being on the face of the earth who does the will of the Father, but the family narrowly speaking, which is the manifestation of that family here in the congregation. This is our family. Jesus teaches us in the inspired scriptures this morning how to identify our family. Let's take as the theme of this text, identifying our family, considering first, knowing the mark, second, using the mark, and third, having the mark. Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, is giving to us the mark of the family. The family of which we speak this morning is the family of Jesus, which is the family of God. That is, the family of Jesus is evident from the fact that Jesus asks, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he goes on to say in verse 15, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother. The family is Jesus' family, and Jesus' family is the family of God. For Jesus says of the triune God who is in heaven, he is, verse 50, my Father. God is the father of the family, and Jesus, the incarnate son, who's teaching in a house on earth in Palestine, he is the son of the family. Now, obviously, this is a spiritual family, because God the Father doesn't have blood. He doesn't have earthly loins out of which he begets a son. Not in an earthly, physical, flesh and blood manner, but in a spiritual manner, God is the Father of the family. And Jesus, though he has a human nature, though he has a flesh and blood body and lives in the physical creation of the earth, Jesus is the Son in a spiritual sonship, in this spiritual family. And other people are members of the family. Men and women, human beings, if they have the Holy Spirit. Those who have the Holy Spirit are part of the family because it's a spiritual family, the family of God. And then that raises the question, how does one get into the family? How does one become a member of the family of Jesus, which is the family of God? How does one receive the Holy Spirit? And Jesus doesn't answer that question in the text. But he does elsewhere in his inspired word. For example, the inspired apostle tells us succinctly in his letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 7, how one becomes a member of the family. He declares, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Family members who have the Holy Spirit are those who have been eternally chosen by God in Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of God's will and to the praise and glory of God's grace. For God has predestinated them unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself. And one becomes an adopted child into the family of God when one is redeemed by Jesus Christ, forgiven by his blood, and accepted as righteous in him who is the beloved. Upon them, the Spirit is bestowed. The Spirit of the family. Galatians 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. All those who have the Holy Spirit are our brothers and sisters in the family of Jesus, which is the family of God. And this is the family that will live forever in heaven, in perfect communion with God. In this passage before us this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ is giving us the mark whereby this family is identified in the world. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my family? Jesus gives the mark, and it is obedience. Verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Among all those automobiles, how do you know which one is, let's say, a Mercedes-Benz? You look for the mark. The trademark three-point star. Among all those restaurants, fast food restaurants along the street, how do you know which one is McDonald's? You look for the trademark, the mark of the golden arches. Among all the churches that exist in the world, the churches in our own community, how do you know which church is true and where you ought to be? You look for the mark, which is the preaching of the pure doctrine of the Word of God, the right administration of the sacraments, and the exercise of Christian discipline. Among all the people in the world and those close to you, even in your own house and those around you, in the neighborhood, wherever you go, how do you know who's a member of the family of God? How can we identify who belongs to the family? Jesus says in verse 50, here's the mark. Obedience. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Obedience is not what gets you into the family. We've already explained how you get in the family. Obedience is not a condition to get into the family. It's not a prerequisite for entering the family. It's not the necessary instrument by which you come into the family. In fact, obedience is not even what keeps you in the family. God does not keep a son or daughter in the family because they obey. Jesus doesn't say, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same shall become, the same shall be made, the same has earned the right to be my brother, my sister, my mother. But Jesus says, those who obey God, they are. That one is my family member. So that obedience is simply the mark. It's the evidence. It's the proof of membership in the family. And how important is obedience? You don't have to make obedience a condition in order to say obedience is important. Obedience is important. How important is obedience? It's the mark of the family as established by Jesus Christ. And it's not a lifeless emblem like a three-point star or a golden arch. It's a life of obedience. That's what identifies who belongs to the family of God. That's what indicates who has faith. Who has faith and belongs to Jesus Christ and therefore the household and family of faith? Who is our family member in the family of God? Jesus says, whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. If you belong to the family of God, you have received a wonder of grace, a miracle in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that means something to you. And out of a grateful heart for your membership in the family, you do the will of the Father of the family. Well, what is the will of the Father? Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the will of his command that we do. Let's say five things this morning. Number one, it's the will of the Father that we hear his word. If you think of the earthly home and the earthly father, how do the children do the will of the Father? Well, first they need to know what his will is, and they know what his will is by hearing his word. And that's why Jesus in the parallel passage, Luke 8 verse 21 says, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Before you can be a doer, you must be a hearer. Hear the word. Come into the house where Jesus is and hear the instruction that he's given. Go into the synagogue and hear the scriptures preached. Go into the church of Jesus Christ and hear the word of God. For it is the will of the Father that we hear his word. Secondly, it is the will of the Father that we believe in his Son. The Apostle John, in his inspired gospel account, repeatedly tells us that Jesus instructed his audience in the truth that it is the Father's will that they believe in him. We read in John 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Believe on the Son. The mark of Jesus' family member is that hearing the word of God and the presentation of Jesus Christ, who is the content of the word of God, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is their personal Savior in whom they have righteousness and everlasting life. They believe him, his words. They believe all of his doctrine. Which is able to make them wise unto salvation. Hear his word, believe in his Son. Third, it's the will of the Father that we repent. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he speaks of repentance in the context and connection with the people of Nineveh who repented. It's the will of the Father that his children humble themselves daily and acknowledge before him their sins and be grieved in heart on account of those sins. And they lay those sins before God, confessing them, and that they flee their sins and they flee for pardon to the refuge that is in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that they are resolved to turn away and lead a new and godly life day after day after day. That's the will of the Father, that we live in repentance. Hear his word, believe in his Son, repent of your sins. Fourth, it is the will of the Father that we keep the sayings of Jesus. Jesus brought his great Sermon on the Mount to a conclusion when he said in Matthew 7, verse 24, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man," and so on and so forth. Keep the sayings of Jesus. Love your brother in your heart. And don't say raca. And don't say thou fool. Live in chastity in your heart. For whosoever lusteth after a woman in his heart, he's already committed adultery with her. Don't commit adultery. And Jesus says, if you can't take your eye off her, you can't take your eye off that thing, you have to cut your eye out. And if you can't stop touching her, then you have to cut your hand off. Better go to heaven that way than go to hell with two hands. And Jesus says, don't do your alms before men to be seen of men. And don't pray like a hypocrite on the corner of the street to be seen of men. And don't cast your pearls before swine. And don't worry, and don't worry about tomorrow. Take no thought for the morrow, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is the will of the Father? It's that we keep the sayings of Jesus, which are nothing more than the application of the law of the Father. Hear his word, believe in his Son, repent of your sins, keep the sayings of Jesus. Fifth and finally, be willing to suffer for Jesus' sake. If you obey, there will be suffering. Be willing to suffer. Jesus says, Luke 14:26-27, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus is teaching his disciples that because of their faith and the obedience of their faith, there will be persecution. They will be brought into the synagogues and they're scourged in the synagogues, or they will be cast out of the synagogues, excommunicated. They will be brought before governors and kings, and it may happen that their own father, their own mother, their own husband, their own wife, their own brother, their own sister, their own son, their own daughter will ridicule them and shun them and ostracize them and even slander them or even do bodily harm to them because they follow Jesus. And Jesus is teaching, if your own flesh and blood is opposed to you for your faithfulness to me, that's your cross. Now, take it up and cheerfully carry that cross as a privilege. That's the will of the Father. The mark of the family, according to the teaching of Jesus, is obedience. That we do the will of the Father, hearing His word, and believing on His Son, and repenting of our sins, and keeping the sayings of Jesus, and suffering for Jesus' sake. And who bore the mark? Like the only natural son of the family, whose way of obedience was agonizingly difficult. And when everyone else would have turned around, and in fact, they weren't even walking in his shoes, and they did turn around, he kept going all the way to the horrors and anguish of the cross, saying, Father in heaven, not my will. Not my will, thy will be done. And all the way he went in obedience. And his perfect obedience is imputed to every member of the family for righteousness. And His Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of obedience, is worked in our hearts so that we can and we do obey. Obedience is the mark. Knowing the mark, we can use the mark as Jesus did. Jesus was teaching in the house and all kinds of people were there, and here comes Mary and the brethren, and he's informed that they want to talk to him. And he says, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And then he points to his disciples. They are my family. They obey. The gospel redefines the family, taking us out of the earthly into the spiritual, taking us away from the temporal into the eternal. In the family, your mother is not a female, not necessarily a female out of whose womb you came. But in the family, your mother is anyone who obeys God. And it's a wonderful thing when the female out of whose womb you came, as was true for Jesus with respect to Mary, really is his mother, because she obeys God. And in the family, your brother is not necessarily a male with whom you lived in the same house and even shared a bedroom, played together. But your brother is anyone who does the will of the Father. And what a wonderful thing it is when the male with whom we were brought up and with whom we may have shared a bedroom and whom we played actually is our brother, because he obeys the will of the Father. Jesus is not denying that Mary is his mother, or not even necessarily that those half-brothers, who though they are, we know from other passages, presently unbelieving, are or ever will be his family. He's only showing us that their earthly blood relations is not what identifies them as his family member. Obedience does. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. We can use the mark then to identify our family. Negatively, we can use the mark to identify who is not a part of our family. And there's a sharp word this morning here to the unbelieving, to the impenitent, to any hypocrites. If you don't obey God, if you don't hear His word, if you don't believe in His Son and His truth, if you do not repent of your sins, if you do not keep the sayings of Jesus, if you do not suffer for Him, but continue in disobedience, that's the proof. That's the evidence. You're not in the family. That you may have been baptized, that one may have made confession of faith, that one may call himself Protestant Reformed, that one may have parents who know the truth, love the truth, and taught one the truth. That doesn't matter. Those things are all important, but they don't matter if someone is continuing in disobedience to the will of God. If anyone does not obey the will of the Father, that's the proof. They don't have the Spirit. For the Spirit of Christ is an obedient spirit. They're not members of the family. They may not call themselves or regard themselves to be the members of God's family. They must be urged to repent of their unbelief and disobedience. And may God use His word to that end. A mark of a true church is that it casts out of its family those who do not display the mark of the family, but the mark of Satan, which is stubborn disobedience. Beloved, the unbelieving and impenitent are not a part of the family so long as they continue disobedient. In fact, according to Jesus, they're not only outside the family, they are against the family. Verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. If your earthly mother does not do the will of the Father, she's not your mother. Not really. And if your earthly brother does not do the will of the Father, he's not your brother. Not really. If your own child, your own flesh and blood child, does not obey the will of the Father, he's not your son. She's not your daughter. Not really. Not truly. And doesn't Jesus' teaching ring true to experience? It's not as if we're hearing one thing this morning and then our experience contradicts what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying, the doctrine of our Lord, corresponds perfectly to experience. What makes a family is that they connect. They're comfortable with one another. There's unity. There's beautiful harmony. They all fit together like flowering plants in a big flower garden, all together, beautiful harmony. But if there's someone who doesn't do the will of the Father and continues stubbornly in disobedience, they're like a weed. Though there's a certain outward semblance, they're very different, and they don't fit. And that's true to experience. They don't fit. And that's going to bring us down to our knees in prayer, pleading with God that by His sovereign grace He will bring repentance, transformation of life, because they don't fit. Though there are certain things in common like DNA and blood and family history and background and work and hobbies, those things are really shallow. If we are not spiritually united in Jesus Christ and His truth, everything else means almost nothing. Those who continue in disobedience, they're not our family members. We experience that. They don't fit in harmony. But now from a positive point of view, beloved, we use this mark to identify who is our family. Regarding our children, our greatest desire for our children is not that they become rich and famous and make us really proud, but that they obey God. Really, that's it. That they obey God. And that's the mark. That's the evidence. They have the family, the covenantal spirit. Belong to Christ. Regarding dating and marriage, we must intermarry. You must marry your mother. You must marry your brother. You must marry your sister if you will get married. And remember, according to the definition of Jesus, a mother's not someone who is a female and brings you forth out of her womb. She's someone who obeys God. And a brother, a sister, is someone who's in the family of God, who obeys God. For dating and marriage, we must marry someone who hears the Word of God and who believes on His Son Jesus and the doctrines of Jesus and who repents of their sins and who keeps all the sayings of Jesus and is willing to suffer for Jesus' sake. Do not marry someone because they say they do the will of God, but because they do the will of God, and thus are a member of your family, the spiritual family of God. Regarding confession of faith this morning, we ask, who is our brother? And then we say, Benjamin. Benjamin's our brother. And we invite him into our homes and give him a seat at our table. He's our brother in the family. And regarding our own congregation, we say, this is our family. And then we don't draw sharp lines and say, I will only invite over to my house or go over to the house of those who are my flesh and blood family. Only fellowship with those who are of earthly relations. But this is my family. And as we do, we live together as a family, delighting in one another as we do the will of our Father. And regarding all true churches of Jesus Christ who obey the will of the Father, if we are away from our homes, away from our home congregation where our membership is, we immediately feel at home in a true church of Jesus Christ, wherever that church may be, anywhere on the globe. Because there we're in the presence of our Father, the God we are worshiping. And there we are in the presence of mother and brother and sister, the family with whom we share the Holy Spirit, having the same love for the same God and His truth. And regarding moving, we never leave our family. When an unbeliever takes a job on the other side of the country, he leaves his hometown, he leaves his family, and he's all alone in a new place. Never happens that a Christian moves and now he's without his family. Because when a believer moves for a job or a ministerial call, whatever the case may be, when a believer moves for a job, he may leave his hometown, he may leave his earthly family, but he's always moving to where the family of God is, where a true church is, and there he'll have family. So that the believer is always with his family. Who is my those who do the will of my Father. And regarding heaven, heaven is not the home of those who shared blood on earth. But it is the home of those who had the Holy Spirit and obeyed God. And our desire is that all those with whom we shared blood on earth, that all our earthly relations, they will be in heaven. And that's our prayer. That all whom we know may belong to the family of God. The mark of the family, they do the will of the Father. Beloved, what an honor and what a comfort it is to have this mark and receive the gesture of Jesus' hand. This had to be one of the extraordinary events in the life of the disciples, one of the memories that they retained till the day they died, one of the greatest events in their life. You had to put yourself there in the house. The house was full of people, overflowing with people, and Jesus is upbraiding the scribes and the Pharisees, and here comes Mary and the brethren, and they want to see Jesus, and Jesus pauses, and he says, "Who is my brethren? Who is my mother? Who are my brethren?" And then in dramatic fashion, in the presence of all of those people, he stops, he extends his hand toward that little humble group of disciples standing quietly nearby, most of them fishermen, those who had previously been upbraided, been rebuked, chided for Jesus. "Oh, ye of little faith," there they were standing, and Jesus directs his hand toward them and he says, "Behold, my mother, my brethren." Right here, these disciples, they are my family. What great honor was bestowed upon those disciples. And you and I must count it an honor of inestimable value that we can receive the hand of Jesus and be called his family. The world and false church will also point the hand and the finger and cast contempt and heap scorn and ridicule upon the true church for one thing, and that's her obedience. If you obey God in the world, you will suffer persecution from the wicked false church and from the wicked world. Shame and contempt cast upon the family of God, but the honor is ours. For by grace we have been made a part of that hallowed circle in which the disciples stood as the family of God. We've been given the mark of obedience, and Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brethren. That's an honor. And what a comfort too. Because as he extends his hand toward us and identifies us as his family, we know ourselves as the family of Jesus Christ, and there's comfort there. Jesus. We belong to the family of Jesus. Whatever comfort you may find in an earthly family, that's nothing compared to belonging to the family of the one who so loved us, he was willing to die for us, and we are the recipients of all of his love and his care and his protection as sinners who don't deserve him. Our comfort is that we belong to Jesus, and the blessedness of this honor and this comfort of belonging to the family of Jesus will be accentuated in the day of judgment when Jesus extends his hand one more time. Matthew 25:33-34, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And though he didn't use his other hand in that house in Palestine, he will use his other hand, the left hand, in the judgment seat. Verse 41, then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What an honor and a comfort to belong to the family of Jesus, having membership earned by his obedience and displaying membership by our obedience to the Father, according to his grace which worketh in us. Whosoever, the mark is not Jewish lineage. The mark is not Dutch lineage. The mark is not pale skin, blonde hair, blue eyes. The mark is not wealth. The mark is nothing external like that. It's obedience. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, that one, he, she, is my brother, my sister, my mother. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray that with a humble and joyful heart, we may receive the instruction of our Lord, that we may live according to his word, and that we may obey thee. We pray for that obedience. It's hard. The flesh still cleaves to us. Our infirmities are great and many. It's hard to obey, and of ourselves impossible. And so we pray thy Spirit may be powerful in us and may even work through this word this morning to inspire obedience in us, that we leave this place this morning determined, resolved to lead a new and godly life of obedience, to hate, to avoid, to flee from our sins, and to walk in righteousness. And certainly that is a goal of the preaching of the gospel. Oh God, it would be a great shame if we all left here indifferent or disobedient. That would be even worse. We love thee, O God. Thou art our Father. We love thee. And so we pray, give us obedience unto thee. And we all know as we walk in that obedience, we do enjoy and experience thy fellowship. Great God of our salvation, to thee be the glory And to Jesus Christ, we will point at Him this morning with our hands. He is at thy right hand in glory. We point at Him and say, He is everything to us, the whole of our salvation. Belonging to Him is our only comfort in life and in death. To Him be the glory, now and forever. Amen.